OLTU.com,
the home of quality podcasts.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 199 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And first of all, I need to apologize because I put a status message on Facebook, it'd be probably 3 weeks ago now, saying, attention Shutters Inc. listeners, there won't be any episodes of the podcast for at least the next 2 weeks due to travel commitments. And what I didn't realize was that on Facebook, when you post a status message, if you utilize the feature known as lists on Facebook, where you put all of your contacts into lists, which is something that they introduced as a response to Google Plus's circles idea. When you post a status message, you can assign just a certain list to receive that status message. So you can post a status message that's only seen by some of your friends, not all of your friends, according to what list they are in. And all the people who have befriended me over the years because of the podcasts, you know, I've got them in photography lists or, you know, podcast listener lists. And so when I posted that status message, I didn't even think about assigning it to a list. I just thought, I'll just let it be public and everyone can see it. And that way, you know, if there's a podcast listener who's accidentally slipped through the cracks in the management of my Facebook account and hasn't ended up on the relevant list, they'll at least still see the message. However, a few days before that, I had posted something on my Facebook wall that I only wanted ARN staff to see, people I work with. And apparently, Facebook retains the memory of the last group that you sent a status message to, and so every status message that I posted after that was going only to ARN staff and no one else was seeing it. And I only discovered this today, and this has been at least, you know, 3 to 4 weeks since I, you know, posted a status message that was just for my work colleagues. So everything I've posted for the last month has been pretty much invisible to the rest of the world. Only the guys I work with at ARN have been seeing it. And then I suddenly twigged to it today and went, oh my God. So yeah, so apologies for the fact that you didn't actually get the message that there wasn't going to be a podcast for a couple of weeks. So why was I off the air for a couple of weeks? Well, it was Sound Business Plan, which you may recall I was involved with for ARN back in September of last year. They asked me to do it again, and this time they took us off to Hayman Island, which is another island in the Whitsunday groups off the coast of Queensland. Absolutely gorgeous resort, very upmarket, very expensive, and we were there for 5 days, flew in on the Wednesday afternoon, and flew home the following Monday. And yeah, my job was to photograph and video pretty much everything that went on from the moment the plane touched down on Hamilton Island, which was where we were September of last year. And we then had to catch a private launch across to Hayman Island. And so, yeah, photo and video, everything that happened for pretty much Wednesday afternoon, all day Thursday, all day Friday, and Saturday morning. And then Saturday lunchtime, I locked myself away in my hotel room and started editing the video and the photo slideshow, both of which had to be turned around ready to show at the closing ceremony at 2:30 on the Sunday afternoon. And I was editing video for like 15 hours straight. I finished at about 3:30 on the Sunday morning. And yeah, so it was a very intense 5 day period. You know, everyone gives me a hard time at work because they go, oh, you're going off on another junket, you know, because, you know, everything's paid for, obviously. But I get very little sympathy when I try and tell them just how much is involved and how hard the work is. But But good fun nonetheless. So that's why I've been off the air for the last couple of weeks. And again, my apologies for the fact that you didn't actually get any forewarning that was going to happen. I thought I had done the right thing by putting a status message up there that, you know, there wasn't going to be any podcast, but the only people who actually got that status message were the people I work with who could care less. So, anyway, you learn something new every day. So, yeah, that's something I've learned about Facebook today. What else has been happening this weekend? This Friday night, which is the night after tomorrow, because it's now Wednesday night, is meetup number 23 for our Sydney group. And this time, because it's a Black Friday, it is the 13th of April. I started off originally with the idea of, you know, the whole Black Friday thing, and it's kind of morphed into a European gypsy fortune teller type of themed shoot. So, looking forward to it. I've got a model lined up who is not pretty young thing from Model Mayhem like we would normally go for. She's actually a friend of mine and a business acquaintance. Her name's Deborah, and she's a bit older than me, I suppose. She'd be in her early 50s, and she's of sort of European, I'd say Eastern European extraction, I guess, would be her heritage. So I think she's got exactly the right look. And she was super excited when I said, would you like to model for us? So that's going to be a lot of fun. And we're just going to shoot it in a car park, but with a whole bunch of props, so it hopefully won't look like we're shooting it in a car park. So should be a lot of fun. And something that I've decided to do for this shoot, for myself, is to dig out and dust off one of my old analog film-based SLR bodies. I went and bought a roll of film today and a battery for the camera body, and I'm going to shoot both film and digital on Friday night because, one, I think it will be very good experience for me or slash practice, if you like, to actually, you know, work out a shot and to work out the settings and to not have instant feedback. You know, I think we have become very spoiled, if you like, by the whole digital era of being able to, you know, get instantaneous feedback on the back of the camera as to exactly what we just shot. And that's it can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. I think we can, you know, fall into the trap of relying on it. I think, you know, a lot of us, if we suddenly had that LCD screen disabled, we would be completely and utterly lost, you know? And so I thought, why not? It's something I've been wanting to do for months and months and months, and I just thought, what the hell? Let's do it. Go grab a camera, grab a camera battery and a roll of film, and let's do it. Let's put ourselves to the test. So I'm making a promise right here, right now, which I might come to regret, that no matter what the results of that roll of film, I will post the results. The other reason for doing it is because I have never done an A-B comparison of, you know, same subject, same lighting, same environment between film and digital. And, you know, pretty much everyone I've spoken to, you know, and commenters on Facebook, the general consensus seems to be that even with how far digital has come, that film still has the upper hand with regards to dynamic range and just, you know, depth of shadows and detail and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to just seeing whether or not the difference is that great, whether I will notice it, and if so, to what degree. I was thinking about it today. I have not shot a roll of film since early 05, I guess. So a good 7 years since I've shot film. And at the time, I thought I was doing okay as a photographer. You know, now, you know, with 6 years of Shelton sharing this podcast, I can look back and say, I did not know what I did not know. And while I have come a long way, I certainly don't profess to know everything now, but I can certainly see how far I've come as a photographer in the last 7 years. And I think it will be very interesting to compare, you know, my shooting today, I guess, is what I'm saying. Is just, I've got a much better idea of what I'm doing now. And it will be interesting to compare analog with digital. So I will post those images, no matter how good or bad they are. And I will also endeavor, and this is going to be tricky because, yeah, you get so used to having all that embedded metadata. What I will endeavor to do is to make notes while I'm shooting on the film as to what settings I'm using, and I will be able to, yeah, hopefully then compare all of that information after the event. So yeah, so that's gonna be very interesting. I got an email this morning from Carl Hemmings, who's been a long time listener to Shutters Inc. And Carl sent me a link to a video that was hosted on Scott Kelby Training, and I wanted to share that. I will put the link to that video in the show notes. It's a guest blog post in video format, if you like, on the Kelby Training site from a New York-based photographer called Peter Hurley, and he was discussing posing for portraits, but specifically for the human head, like how, when you're doing, you know, a head and shoulders portrait, how to get your subject posed correctly so as to, you know, bring out the best of the human face. And his core mantra was all about accentuate the jawline. And I found it the best 15 minutes I've spent on photography in ages. It was really, really great stuff. And I would highly recommend that you go and check it out. I mean, I will paraphrase it, but I probably won't do it justice. So I highly recommend, put 15 minutes aside and go and watch this video. If like me, you feel you still need help with posing, your portraits. It was just, yeah, really well done. And basically the whole thing, he talks about, you know, if you get a person to just stand in front of the camera square on, the head will naturally, you know, sit above the neck, as you would expect. And that has a natural tendency to expose too much of the area under the chin, and to not highlight the jaw. And the very first thing he says is, and Sue Bryce has mentioned this as well, although she said it slightly differently, but now having seen this video of Peter Hurley's, I really get it. Basically, he said, you know, for a long time I told people, you know, push the chin out and drop it down. He said, but then you get all these really weird looks from, you know, people sticking their head out, you know, in this really weird manner, and said that, he said that didn't really work. So what I do now is I tell people, push the forehead out and then just tilt it down a little bit. And you've got to see the video to really get what this does, because it really stretches the skin under the jawline and it makes the jawline stand out. And yeah, look, I'll leave it at that. He does a much better job of it, and because it's a video, you can actually see the results in real time, mainly because he's standing in front of the camera, and he's obviously got the viewfinder turned around so he can see himself as he's filming it, and so he's moving his head around and he's showing you exactly what he means. Yeah, it's fantastic. I am definitely going to go and watch it a second time. I thought it was absolutely priceless information. So, yeah, check that out. And the only other thing that I wanted to add this week was that today, Adobe released Reader 10.2 for I know it was for Android. I think it may have also... Actually, would it? Yeah, I think it's for iOS as well. The thing that excites me about this is that they have included the ability to add signatures and markup to PDF files on tablets, or in my case, my Galaxy Note. And what excites me about that is that I can now use my Galaxy Note, which, for those who aren't familiar with, it's a new phone from Samsung. It's a monster of a thing. It's sort of... It's been colloquially referred to as a phablet because it's halfway between a phone and a tablet. It's a 5.3-inch screen. It's huge. But the great thing about that is that I can now write up a model release for a shoot, and I can then have the models, because the Galaxy Note uses a stylus, or it comes with a stylus. You can use your finger or you can use the stylus. So I can actually use my Galaxy Note and have my models sign a digital copy of a model release straight on the phone's, you know, screen, and not have to carry around sheets of paper with me, which I think is absolutely fantastic. And obviously, you know, if you're an iPad user, I don't know the Apple market extremely well. As you know, I'm not an Apple fan, but I'm pretty sure you can buy aftermarket capacitive styli for Apple products, so you could buy a stylus for an iPad and carry it with you and do exactly the same thing on an iPad or an Android tablet, or I guess if there's any other operating systems for tablets. So I thought it was very interesting. So I'm actually going to mock up a PDF this evening as a model release and then just try it out for myself. I had a little play with some PDFs that were on my phone earlier today and it seemed to work well. So, yeah, I think it's a great concept, being able to sign you. I know there are apps in the App Store that you can pay for that, you know, do model releases and whatever, but I can't remember the name of the one that was recommended to me, but I remember that one of the major criticisms of that particular app was that you couldn't customize the content of the model release. You basically got, you know, whatever they had pre-canned as a model release, and you basically just had to work with it, where at least now with Adobe Reader 10.2, you can make up your own model release, save it as a PDF, chuck it on your tablet, phablet, phone, whatever, and, you know, have your model release customized the way you want it, and be able to get a digital signature out in the field on the spot, not have to carry around wads and wads of paper. It's a fantastic idea. I love it. All right, that will do it. And of course, this is episode 199, which means that the next one is episode 200. So Shelton did promise that he would come back for the 200th, so I'm going to have to drop him a line and say, hey, dude, you're up next week. Make time. and see what he's been up to, because I haven't spoken to him for ages. So I know that CPW seems to be going ahead in leaps and bounds. I saw on their Facebook page today that either Shelton or Glenn, I don't know who it was who posted it, said CPW has just racked up its 20,000th fan on Facebook, which is a fantastic achievement. So well done, guys. Yeah, so I will have a chat with Shelton and endeavour to get him lined up either for next week or the week after. I don't know if we're going to do anything special for the 200th episode yet. So, I will leave it there. As per usual, anything you want to discuss, please drop me an email, studio@audiotu.com. And until I speak with you next, take care.
Shutters Inc., another audiotoyou.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email studio@audiotoyou.com.